Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Dear, oh dear, oh dear. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yeah, I'll play the fun music in a minute. The horn. Head On RadioNetwork.com. That's where you go for the listen live button. You can also listen through various and sundry other streaming devices, apps for your smart device, your tablet, what have you. We recommend the TuneIn app as well as Stitcher Internet Radio. Also at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com site, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will find the PayPal button. Let's get this over with. The PayPal button, whereat we continue the ongoing effort to keep this little effort afloat. We try to raise $150 every evening, and this evening is no different. We caught up last week, and we begin this week, as far as I can tell, pretty much even, which is awesome. So 15 folks at $10, 10 bucks at 15, or 10 folks at $15, 2 at 75, 3 at 50, 6 at 25. And that's as far as math on the fly goes for me. So it will be easier to have a July if we just keep the pace. And thank you very kindly in advance. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's darkening up a little bit outside as the great white fluffy clouds that have sailed past us over the course of the last couple of days look like they may be doing something in earnest. But that's okay. It has been right hot here. Yes, yes, I know it's hotter other places, but, well, it ain't the heat, it's the humidity. I went downtown for a little bit earlier today, and it was like walking in a sauna. I'm sorry, sauna. I'll get it right. See how I correct myself, Janie? Mm-hmm. But at any rate, it is going to be, without a doubt, a very, 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 did I say very, interesting Moran Monday. We have so many nominees, it's hard to even know where to begin. Quite frankly, after yesterday, I pretty much had an idea that Maybe Eddie Snowden would run to the top of the list for Moran Monday. But he's had some stiff competition, and I'm afraid he's fallen back just a little bit. We can talk about Eddie Snowden if you want to later in the program. But you know where I stand on him and his facilitator. And a lot of you are in disagreement, and that's okay. We'll just agree to disagree. I'll refuse to pay my nickel for this way to the egress, and some folks will continue to dig in their pockets. So, never mind that. No, I think... Well, there's sort of a nexus of Moranity. Let's get this all started off right.
That's right, that's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear Morans of all stripes, all varieties. Hateful Morans, stupid Morans, ignorant Morans, mean Morans, deluded Morans, grifty Morans, con artist Morans, Morans everywhere. No one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes, and patrons to the Moran Monday tent are advised to keep their hands at all times on their purses, their children, and their wallets, because the Morans can get a little bit grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. I feel better now, having gotten it started correctly. Now, I see kind of a nexus this evening regarding that half of the species in the United States, the human species, who are female. Three stories. All of which seem to focus on defining females by their genitalia, which is, to say the least, crazy making. I have been assisted ably in the front end of this by both Beth in Texas and Texas Betsy, who have been watching the shenanigans over women's reproductive systems taking place in that monkey house that is apparently passing itself off as the Texas legislature. The Republicans have gone hog wild all over women's insides. And the poster child for this, although there are many, the one pig-licking Texas legislator who said, thank God for the Second Amendment, in discussing people who were protesting his right-wing approach to the maintenance and management, outside management, of women's reproductive systems, and in fact the physical integrity of their entire bodies, well, he's but one example. And he had a Moran Monday inside track. But then along comes, oh my God, along comes representing Jody with an E and IE. Laubenberg. Sounds like something you spit in a bucket when you've got a bad sinus infection. Laubenberg. What would that? Loving Mountain? No, that would be Liebenberg. I don't know what Laubenberg would mean. Jody Laubenberg apparently graduated from the Paula Deen School of Post-Racial Communications Sensitivity. Okay, so Laubenberg, Texas Betsy? Okay, Laubenberg. Laubenberg it shall be. Representing Jody Laubenberg comes from Collin County in Texas Stan. Texas Betsy telling me that her real name is Southern Living Barbie. Okay. And she has that gooey voice. You can almost hear her answering a pageant question. In fact, I think you could probably substitute her for Miss Utah, and actually, as you'll see from the
forthcoming audio clip have something that makes actually more sense. There were questions being asked during the debate on this attempt to insert some big government. The big government's okay if it's big Republican government into women's bodies. When a question was put forward, why it was that the Repiglicking abortion limiting bill didn't contain an exception for rape or incest, particularly rape. Well, being as how Southern Living, representing Southern Living Barbie Laubenberg, sits on the Texas House Public Health Committee, terrifying even to contemplate. Well, she had some splaining to do, and since the questions were coming from persons of color, she felt the need to speak real slow and gooey. But no matter how slowly she spoke, well, it couldn't cover up. I mean, I may be accused of sexism for this, and if I am, I apologize in advance. There are some things that Mary Kay cannot cover up, and stupid's one of them.
As I thought about your amendment, I'm sure that you've heard of the...
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this right. This is Representative Jose Menendez of District 124, and he's got a question. Oh, I see. Okay, a little background. Now we understand why she was talking so slowly like. Texas Betsy tells me, no, she started out speed-speaking, and no one could understand her, and the House reporter made her slow down. That was the first 15 minutes. So, brown guy, Representative Jose Menendez, has a question for Representative Laubenberg.
Boy in college goes to a fraternity party, and there's too much drinking or drugs, and all of a sudden, the next thing she knows, she awakens in a bed after possibly having been gang-raped. Have you heard of horrible cases like this before?
I have.
So now this young co-ed, who has been sent with all her dreams to college by her parents, doesn't know what happened, doesn't know who impregnated her, but finds herself pregnant and not wanting to believe possibly. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
In living in denial. So if...
Now, to be fair, this is not Representing Laubenberg. This is Representative Sanfronia Thompson, one of those who will be spoken to slowly by Representing Laubenberg later. God bless her. She's not a Moran nominee. Representative Sanfronia Thompson did all of her discussing with a coat hanger hanging in front of her, you know, to make those God-fearing, upstanding, big government hating, unless it's got to do with big government regulating women folks' insides. Repiglickens at least confront the fact of what it is they're trying to do. Back to Representative Menendez and Representative Thompson.
Your amendment does not go on. The state of Texas is going to force her to make a horrible decision, to make a decision to either harm herself or possibly reject the baby. It's just a whole series of forcing her to live the trauma over and over. Don't you agree?
The state of Texas is going to say it's all right to rape your daughter, your sister,
Representative Stickland, your
cousin.
Order. General Lady's time is expired.
You have a good
point. Order is well taken to sustain. Chair
and
recognizes.
Your president.
Chair recognizes.
Okay. The state of Texas approves.
Chair recognizes Representative Laubenberg to speak against the amendment.
Get the popcorn.
The amendment.
members of the county. There is nothing, nothing. Representative Johnson, I understand there's nothing worse to a woman than to be violated. Let me say that this...
I was violated just last week when somebody brought me a cup of coffee that wasn't just as hot as I wanted it to be.
Does not prohibit an abortion for any reason, including rape and incest, up until 5 months. That's over half the term of the pregnancy. And if a woman is violated...
She can't even say rape.
It's a degrading way.
Of course, she was raised right.
She can get that abortion. She can get that abortion. And I can't blame her. And I think we need to go after the person, the persons who do that in the toughest, toughest way possible.
Even after he's deposited God's sacred rape sperm? Oh, she may be... By the way, representing Laubenberg is also the chairwoman of the state's chapter of the American Legislative Exchange Council. That just thought you'd want to know.
But 5 months, if you've been through this, you've had 5 months, respectfully, to make that decision. At this point, we are looking at a baby that's very far along in its development. It's my understanding we don't allow...
For what purpose?
Just a moment. Let me finish. No.
Yes, ma'am.
Here it comes. Sit down. Strap in. Get the tennis ball and the duct tape. You'll be wanting it. When I showed this to Agnes, I had to chase her down. She done run screaming out into the front yard. Luckily, no one called the authorities.
We do not, and if you cannot hear me, I'm trying to speak louder. In the right terms. But you can, for rape and for incest, have the abortion up to 5 months. And it's with great respect. You have the same passion that I have. But I believe that we need to be punishing the person who committed this horrendous crime. And with that, I respectfully move the table.
Madam Speaker.
For what purpose?
Will the gentlelady yield for some questions?
Does the gentlelady yield for some questions?
Yes, I do.
The gentlelady yield.
Thank you, Representative. This is a very sensitive topic that we're talking about right now, and I know that because I've personally prosecuted sexual assault cases in El Paso.
I'm glad.
Have you ever sat down with a victim of sexual assault?
As a matter of fact, yes.
So you know the trauma that's been brought upon that woman in that circumstance?
Yes.
Is that, in my experience, that is such a traumatic time that that victim, that person who has sometimes been brutally raped, does not know what to do. Was that your experience as well?
They are so traumatized, they want to remove.
I've sat hours with women who have gone through this, some of them reluctant to even testify against their rapist.
Absolutely, because they're afraid.
These are very difficult cases to try, and that's just talking about the legal end of it. They're much more difficult to deal with on the social end.
And Representative Moody?
I think that
I think that the end result of this bill, and you said that we extend out to 5 months, is that correct in these circumstances?
Yes.
But the end result of this bill in a community like El Paso is that the nearest facility that a woman who was raped could go to would be in San Antonio. And I think that that is that acceptable to you?
If a woman is raped.
Is that acceptable to you that the closest place to someone from El Paso?
We have hospital emergency rooms. We have funded what's called rape kits.
We have funded what's called rape kits. I'm talking slow now because I know you probably don't speak the English real good. We have rape kits in the emergency room.
That will help the woman, basically screen her out.
The rape kit. This is about where I had to chase Agnes down in the yard. The rape kit will help clean the woman out. Now, this God-fearing, upstanding, right-wing repiglicking has just admitted that God's sacred rape sperm is dirty. Or maybe it's the rape victim's insides that are dirty because, you know, she needs to be cleaned out.
And again, hopefully that will alleviate that. But if
that's another way of saying hopefully that will help shut that thing down. Somewhere out there, this woman is being held up by the right wing as a paragon of virtue. I did a little, I'm not even going to mention the websites of it. And yes, she is. She's speaking up for life. And the fact that rape kits are pregnancy preventers. Now, the fact that she's saying this to a prosecuting attorney is not lost on me. Because our former prosecutor in this question and answer session damned well knows the trauma even of a rape kit. Because, see, there's no cleaning involved. What it is evidence gathering. That's an important word, evidence. It means something. It means something that can be introduced into court such that a jury as trier of fact or a judge as trier of fact may legally use the same in finding the facts at issue. It does not come with a you know what's not in a rape kit, right?
Now, by some chance, God forbid, he finds out.
Will the gentlelady yield? Will the gentlelady yield?
Yes.
Gentlelady yield.
Yes.
Representative Lautenberg.
Okay, so the gentlelady, she is darker than a paper sack. So representing Lautenberg is going to talk even slower.
You stated that these ladies would be able to. Excuse me.
Right.
I was just trying to be able to hear a little bit better. You said these ladies would be able to acquire an abortion at one of the emergency rooms?
In the emergency room, they have what's called rape kits.
They have, I done said this before, they have
what's called rape kids.
That the woman can get cleaned out, basically like a DNC.
She can get cleaned out like a DNC with a rape kit. At this point in time earlier in the day, Agnes was reduced to fits of simply hollering, "Oh, no, she didn't." She did not say that a rape kit was the same thing as a DNC. She just did not. But she did. Because she's a Republican. And she hates that big government. Unless that big government's operating up inside a woman. Because, well, you know, women.
And it measures the contraception where they could also do the morning after pill.
Now, are you aware that many of these emergency rooms, although you request in this legislation that the facilities that would prescribe or be able to prescribe an abortion must meet ACAS and basically be an ambulatory center, but most of those don't provide abortion services. So if you believe that it is available, especially in the case of rape and incest, would you be amenable to ensuring that that is the probability and the likelihood by accepting an amendment that all of the ambulatory facilities must provide the abortion services?
Uh-oh. Representing Lamborghini she's out of her depth. I don't know how much slow talking can help this.
We're going to focus on Representative Thomas.
Well, you brought that up in this discussion, so I was just trying to get some clarity from you. Now, you said that these women, in response to this amendment by Representative Thompson on incest and rape, that these women would be able to get an abortion if they so chose. Now, explain to me, how are they going to be able to pay to have the abortion when so many of those facilities were closed because of the defunding of the women's health care program. And we no longer have WHP and the federal government paying 90%, so that the women up to 185% of the poverty level would at least be able to go for birth control. So we know that they're not going to be on birth control when they get raped. So they're going to get pregnant. So exactly where are they going to go to be able to have an abortion, because this bill is going to make it very difficult? And how are they going to pay for it? Because the state doesn't do it because of your amendments on other bills.
Representative Dukes, it was the federal government who took the money away. We have funded the program and given even more money.
As a matter of fact, the government chose other entities that wish to follow the law. You know, we want the federal government to do for us like the fires, but we don't want the federal government to do for us when they tell us to follow the regulations on Medicaid. So who's going to pay for it? Because you were the one who said the women don't need to worry because they can pay for it. With what health insurance?
Representative Dukes, respectfully, I'm going to focus on the amendment that has been
placed. Well, you brought that up as an answer in response to this amendment. So how will they pay for it? Because you seem certain, and I'm sure you are sincere, that they would be able to receive.
Oh, zing. I'm sure you are sincere. Yeah. There's a lot of things I could say she's as sincere as, but, well, try not to take the show there, the program there, quite so early in the process.
Those abortion services. But it's not going to be at the emergency room with the rape kit. All the rape kit is going to do...
Uh-oh, here comes some facts.
Is allow for some DNA to be taken. As a matter of fact, many of those rape kits, because we haven't fully funded Department of State Health Services, they never get checked. And so we never get that evidence anyway, and that's backlog. So we go back to the rape and the incest and whether or not they can have an abortion, and you said it can be paid for. Who's paying for it?
I'm going to focus on the amendment and let me...
I ain't going to answer your question. I don't like your question. I don't like your tone. I think you're being uppity, and you're just ruining my day. Lord God, I had a lovely little cotillion planned for later on, and now, well, I just don't know if I'm going to have the fortitude to go through it. Goodness me.
We emphasize
you, the one who responded, and your response would be paid for. Just tell me who's going to pay for it, because the women can't afford it. You responded. I'm asking you about your answer. So it's clear to me that you don't have the answer, and you know they can't pay for it. Otherwise, you would have provided me that.
Members, let me remind you to maintain the decorum of the house. Appropriate.
Yes, Jesus Christ, we got to have some decorum. I mean, this ain't worth nothing if we ain't got no decorum. I mean, here we is talking about women's insides and how the Republican majority wants to have total government control over them, but we got to talk about that with some decorum. Or else we're just going to wind up fighting it out in the streets. Gentlemen, I have never seen such conduct. Fight it in the war room.
Questions from the back mic and answers from the front. Madam, pardon me, inquiry. State your inquiry.
How is it when an individual states something from the front microphone as an answer, to ask them to clarify it, it is not within the
rules of health. Strickland raises the point of order. The gentlelady's time has expired. The point of order is sustained.
I did have a parliamentary inquiry.
State your inquiry.
I stated it already. Please.
Woo! There goes another cotillion ruined.
Repeat your inquiry. I ask, how is it that when someone responds with an answer at the front microphone and they are questioned about that specific answer at the back microphone, that is not within the rules of the House and the discussion that's on the floor?
Representative Duke, I'm answering your question in that.
I'm talking to the speaker right now.
Oh! Oh! Mary Kay, I didn't ask you. Who says politics is boring? But you've got the gist of it, right? A woman can, having been raped, go to any emergency room in the whole blessed state of Texas, Stan, and get her a rape kit and clean herself out and take care of that. God dang. God, the Confederacy is not dead. Meanwhile, this is, last I checked, and this is just a bonus, a special session of the Texas legislature, called largely to deal with this issue outside the ordinary and normal rules of procedure. Those fiscal conservatives of the Republican and right wing in Texas just wasted God only knows how much of the people of Texas's money. Remember them leader? It's your money. We want to give some of it back to you. Here's a check for $300. Yeah, I'm a good man. Yeah, I'm the decider. But it is not the people of Texas's money when this mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking assembly of Church of God of Prophecy rejects decides that they want to spend the people's money
assaulting the reproductive rights of half of the people of Texas. And arguably, since in many instances, abortions are actually had by people who are in committed relationships, the other half, too. Yeah, guys, y'all kind of got skin in this game, too. Just say. Fritz writing in from Arkansas. Miss Alec, Texas, and Wright kids. Bob, listening to that clip damn near makes me want to run to the liquor store for some cheap vodka and the grocery store for some bright and early. That is, if I don't reach for the MD 2020 first. It's just me, Fritz, but I prefer when talking about the lunacy of Texas politics to dance with the woman what brung me, as the saying goes, and stick with something like maybe a Shiner Bach. I like Shiner. But mercy sakes, but remember, this is part of the nexus of a trifecta of stories about the right wing and the female half of the species. And the fact that they have not figured out yet in 2013 when really, by this time, I was hoping that we'd be working on talking about the faster passage to Mars. A significant portion of this nation, of this culture, of this polity, of this society persists in refusing to allow a woman to be a full-functioning, full-fledged human entirety. She is, instead, for purposes of the state legislatures of places like Texas Stan and Oklahoma Stan and Alabama Stan and Georgia Stan and Tennessee Stan and North and South Carolina Stan, and Talibandiana, and Kansas Stan, merely a life support system for a womb. And it is a womb that the right wing wants to have a view. They want a womb with a view, and they want the view right into it so that they can see the little snowflake a-turning into one of God's creatures, even if God's creature is a creature of rape. Or, you know, Uncle Daddy? Right-wingers and repiglickins and Christians cannot for the life of them see a female as anything more than the somewhat soft and rounded containment vessel for a vagina and uterus and some fallopian tubes and a couple of ovaries. And as a guy, I will say that that's a damn shame, because females of the species are some mighty damned interesting people. Let me go so far as to say, as a sort of reinforcement to the repiglickins out there, we haven't run away all of the weirdo lurkers, they are people. Yes. Contrary to the legislator, I forget from where, who referred to them as the vaginas, they're people. They have big old human brains that work as well and sometimes better than the big old human brains that us men folk have. They walk upright. They have opposable thumbs. They engage in higher level physical activity. They do a lot of that they're thinking. They do even more of that they're worrying. in large part because there are Republicans in the land. And are ever so much more than something to be politically ridden like a borrowed mule. So yes, this is the nexus of a trifecta of stories about the continuing, it's not even objectification of women. It's the what's the word I'm after? It's not the depersonalization of women, because that would mean that at some point in time a Republican thought a woman was a person. Because clearly they don't. It's the reductio ad uterum of women. So next, we go, of course, to Georgistan. Georgia. No, I don't think so. You know, we like for our young folks to be active in athletics, because we say that it greatly enhances their academic performance and helps keep them out of trouble. As long, of course, as they're playing sports that we feel like meet certain externally applied gender criteria. A lot of people out there still haven't gotten over the ass-whipping that Billie Jean King put on Bobby Riggs. Younger members of the audience can simply look it up. It's one of the cool things about the Internet. But down in Georgia, there's a young woman. She's a girl. I mean, she's 12 years old, for God's sakes. She has a beautiful smile. Just looks like she's full of life. And her name is Madison Baxter. Not all girls want to go and be gymnasts. Not all girls want to be ballerinas. Not all girls want to play fast-pitch softball or even basketball or lacrosse or volleyball. There are some girls out there that, it turns out, throughout the country, about 1,500 of them, who turn out to be pretty damn good at football with the shoulder pads and everything, and we're not talking about no damn lingerie league either. And they play football quite competently. Okay? Madison Baxter is one such. She's been playing football. I mean, it's Georgia, for God's sakes, okay? And one of the fringe benefits, I guess, of being a Southerner who's raising a daughter in the 21st century, when we haven't quite gotten around to colonizing Mars yet, but we're still looking for a little progress wherever we can find it. One of the benefits of having a daughter in the 21st century, remember, Madison would have been born long about 2001, and if you just stop to think about the world as a child born in 2001 understands it, the things that have always been there, the things that have never been there, Well, one of those benefits is that you can look at your daughter and say, honey, if you want to go out for football, it's fine by me. Let's go play catch. And apparently, Madison's mama and daddy have been doing that with her since second grade. And like I said, she was good enough to start. And you know, starting in Georgia means something. Because right behind Christianity is football. Oh, sure, the Dogs may put up a decent basketball team once in a while, and that's good enough. But by damn, it's football. It is the secondary religion of the South, and that just by Jesus' nose. So, we're at midsummer. And in midsummer in the South, people's fancy turns to thoughts of two-a-days. Now, I reckon they don't have two-a-days in seventh grade, but really, this is about the time you start making sure you got the physical in order and all the paperwork's took care of, so that your young'un can participate in sports, namely football. We don't mean any of that candy-ass soccer in it either. Come fall. Well, Madison Baxter has been quite good at football, starting, as I said, in sixth grade for the Strong Rock Christian Academy. But she ain't gonna play no more. And I'm sure somehow or another, sin of Eve, original sin, some other silly horse shit like that, it's her fault. Because Baxter's mama got a letter recently from the CEO. No, really, Strong Rock Christian Academy has a CEO, a guy named Patrick Stewart. Not that Patrick Stewart. He ain't gonna make it so, number one. Make a go, number one. Now, he sent a letter. Casey Blythe, Baxter's mama, told Atlanta's WXIA-TV that she was called into a meeting. You know, I don't know why you unstrap from the chair or take the tennis ball or the duct tape off. Moran Mundy, you may just as well leave it on. Called her in for a meeting, Patrick Stewart, CEO of Strong Rock Christian Academy, did. And told Mama that the reason that Madison Baxter ain't going to be allowed to play no football in the seventh grade is on account of the boys on the team was going to start a lusting after her and have impure thoughts about her. And that he was acting to protect her because he didn't want her a hearing none of what the boys said after they done started having their impure, lustful thoughts. I've read the story. I see no evidence whatsoever. Important word, evidence. See, no evidence whatsoever of any of them impure thoughts are coming out. Now, by the way, Madison she dresses separately from the boys. It's not like they're in there in the dressing room snapping her with a rat-tailed wet-ended towel or nothing. No. Strong Rock Christian Academy CEO. Jesus prefers a CEO, you know. He don't want no principals. Strong Rock Christian Academy CEO Patrick Stewart said that he done made his decision, and the decision is made. Because he said, the best I can come up with is that men and women are created equal but different. I've been praying about it, and I come to the conclusion this is actually a quote from Casey Blythe, Baxter's mama, Madison Baxter's mama. He said, the best I can come up with is that men and women are created equal but different. And he said he's been praying about it and came to the conclusion that he was making the right decision for the school. For the school. Not for Madison Baxter. Once again, like the women of the entire state of Texas, this girl has done absolutely nothing wrong and everything right. But she is being punished. Now, we can have a larger discussion about whether or not anybody in their right mind who loves their child would let them play football, given the incidence of head injuries and the like. But that's a separate discussion. You know, she could be a cheerleader. That's athletic. So apparently, Jesus is in favor of sixth grade girls playing football, but not seventh grade girls. Because he done told Strong Rock Christian Academy CEO Patrick Stewart done told him so when Patrick Stewart took it to him in prayer. There is a Facebook page out there if you wish to participate, calling upon Strong Rock Christian Academy to quote unquote let her play. It's just facebook.com/letherplay. But again, this is part of a larger problem. And it is the problem that is exacerbated by adherence to a co-opted creation story that imposes the burden of death itself on females because the alleged first one had a little chit-chat with a gossipy water moccasin. Maybe when we do get to Mars, we won't carry this BS with us. The best I can come up with is that men and women are created equal but different. Well, no, Strong Rock Christian Academy CEO Patrick Stewart. If you're saying that a girl can't play ball because she's different, here's a hint. You might want to ask Jesus about it. She ain't equal. Just as is the case with racism, this country has a long way to go before it is post anything. Story two. Now, story three. Colorado, where the initial decision made in this case was gotten wrong. But fortunately, there was an appellate body to get it right. The group that got it wrong was the Fountain Fort Carson School District 8 of Fountain, Colorado. And I'm sure that they just wish it would all go away. But here's the gist of it. In Fountain, Colorado, there's a little girl by the name of Coy Mathis. She's 6. She has, from the day she emerged from the womb, been about as girly as one girl can be, if that word itself is not sexist. The problem is, if it is indeed a problem, and it's obviously a problem for the school district in question, the problem is she was born with a penis. And it is emblematic of the problems that exist in this culture that we insist upon defining anyone who is determined to deviate, quote unquote, from gender norms by their sex organs, which is simply astonishing. But they did that to a 6-year-old. There's a picture of Coy Mathis here, out playing in the grass. Prettiest little girl you ever saw. Writing their opinion, and you know what this is about? It's not about whether or not Coy Mathis wants to play football. It's not even about Coy Mathis's reproductive rights, such as they are or may be. No, this is about where a 6-year-old transgendered girl is going to go potty. That's how far the debate has sunken. Because the Fountain, Colorado, Fountain Fort Carson School District 8 had a straight-up hissy. Well, what? She may be a girl, but she's got a dangly thing between her legs, and that means we're going to make her go to the boys' bathroom. And her mama and daddy complained, took legal action. Jeremy and Karen Mathis allege that on or about December 10th, 2012, the respondent, the aforementioned Fountain Fort Carson School District 8, hereinafter referred to as Idgets, denied her equal terms and conditions of service of goods, services, benefits, or privileges, equal treatment, based upon harassment and the full and equal treatment of equal enjoyment of goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, or accommodations of a place of public accommodation due to her sex, female, and sexual orientation, transgender. This is why things like transgender bills matter. The respondent denies the charging party's allegations of discrimination and avers that the charging party's inappropriate use of the girls' restroom, really, the inappropriate, I didn't know. Trying to keep from going there. as long as one is dealing with issues of hygiene and elimination of bodily waste, I didn't know there was an inappropriate use of the girls' restroom, or the boys' for that matter. I can remember long ago, college even, having female visitors to our place of residence, which had a lot of young men in it. And we would literally stand by the door to make sure no big, ungainly guy went bumbling through when a visiting young woman was in there. Now, was that an inappropriate use of a men's restroom? According to the, who the hell are these people again? The idiots, Fountain Fort Carson School District 8, it was. Because what they planned to do was to accommodate young Coy Mathis by sending her to a gender neutral by sending her to the teacher's restroom. What they think she, inappropriate use of the girls' restroom? What she think she was going to do? What they think that she was? Well, I don't see you. I'm just going to pee on the wall. For heaven's sakes. But the Division of Civil Rights of Colorado's Department of Regulatory Agencies got it right. The respondent asserts that the appropriate restroom for the charging party, that's how they refer to the little six-year-old girl, is the boys' restroom or one of the single-user gender-neutral restrooms based on the charging party's perceived biological maleness as noted on her birth certificate. The respondent perceives the charging party to be a boy based on her birth certificate because it suggests that she does not possess the typical female genitalia associated with girls. And then this. Sex assignment at birth, however, is merely a category that a child is placed in based on observable anatomy, and does not take into consideration the psychological and biological variations associated with the composition of each person. Given the evolving research into the development of transgender persons, compartmentalizing a child as a boy or a girl solely based on their visible anatomy, is a simplistic approach to a difficult and complex issue. The respondent, moreover, ignores federal and legal documents more current than the charging party's birth certificate, which undeniably state the charging party's sex as female. The evidence, as such, is sufficient to demonstrate that the charging party is a girl and identifies as a girl. The Civil Rights Division got it wrong. The school district and the school itself, the Civil Rights Division got it right. The school district and the school itself got it terribly wrong because they defined female as nothing more than genitals. Again, you would almost hope we would be past this by now. We are not. and it is a struggle. For biologically born females and someone who identifies as such. Deep down, people are still shocked by transgenderism. They are in part shocked because they cannot imagine, in the case of an individual who makes that choice for herself or himself, transgenderism runs both directions. They're shocked, particularly in the case of male-to-female transgenderism, that a male, and not just shocked, offended, really, that a male would give up male privilege. The culture, especially patriarchal, Abrahamic, monotheistic culture, is deeply offended by that. And it shows. It shows. But this is a win. And whether folks realize it or not, it's a win for anyone, male or female, who wishes not to be simply identified by his or her genitals. Who wishes to be more than the sum of his or her parts. Who wants to be a fully functioning member of society, even if it's one that is as obviously screwed up as this one. So those are the first three Moran Monday nominations. We got a passel more, and you're welcome to bring some to the table if you want to. And yes, the defense attorney doing opening statements in the Trayvon Martin case, him with his little knock-knock joke, she's there. He's there. He's there. So too, Paula Deen and Smithfield Meats. Probably more Smithfield Meats than Paula Deen. Although there's a Paula Deen update that I found just kind of hair-curling and blood-curdling when I read it the other day. And it wouldn't be Moran Monday without Louis Gohmert. And, of course, we've got a Journalism Moran Monday nomination. It's kind of a dandy, too. Almost like a blast from the past. So, I think we're going to be reasonably busy. But foremost, this is conversation radio, and I invite you to the conversation. 304-658-3333 is the number on Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn is where we are easily reachable. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. A couple of follow-up emails. Luda, writing in, Fort Carson, in case you are unaware, or you said it and I missed it, but Fort Carson, Colorado, would be a very large Army infantry division, so the mentality will be different there, plus Colorado Springs is right there, and you know who has a large religious presence there, right? Yeah, right. Nice catch. Thanks, Luda. And Kevin, from Colorado Springs, says, where that school is not too far from me at all. You asked what this is all about? No, it's not whether a girl can play football or whether a transgendered person can use the restroom of her choice. Rather, it's about control. The teabaggers and such talk a good game about independence, but if you watch what they do instead of what they say, it's all about their control over you and all others not like them. They want freedom, Wolverines, but are deathly afraid of others being equal to them and equally free, and thus, whether it's religious, you must believe as we do, at work, certain jobs are for men only, like all the important ones, sports, cheerleaders are great eye candy, they must be able to exercise control over someone. We're watching, at times, in the news, what happens when they lose that control over people, and they can't stand it. Jeremy writing in from Vermont, transgenderism, the story sure is a win. Yes, people are still deeply disturbed by trans persons. I would know I fall into this category. While most people who live, who I've told, have taken it well, there are always those who will not and may even act out with violence to what they fear and don't want or try to understand. And that is the absolute truth. Anybody who ever says that a transgendered person made some sort of choice to be that to be transgendered has a sick and cruel heart, because the way this culture treats people in a transgendered situation, no one in their right mind would make that choice. But my God, when everything in your soul says you are one kind of a person and the culture demands that you lie to yourself and be another, well, what's that old saying? Hell is other people? Yeah, that comes to mind. And then this from Kate. Subject line. Not a damn thing has changed. Bob, not even the excuses and ignorance. In 1957, I was entering junior high. For 3 or 4 years previous, I was a star athlete. I even had my own catcher's mitt. Summer's over, registration started for junior high. I wanted to go out for football. Most of the skinny, pimply boys who were on my grade school team weren't even talented. When the principal called me in to tell me that wasn't allowed, I stared up at him and naively asked, "Why not? I'm better than all those boys." "Because it might damage your reproductive organs." With a straight face, incredulity in my voice, I said, "I don't want to have babies. I want to play fullback." He sputtered and turned red. "Young ladies do not play football." And he didn't speak to me for the rest of my time in that school. Needless to say, I was confused, angry, and embarrassed, but I let it drop until the 1970s when I evolved into a radical feminist baby dyke. All of us worked until we bled to get Title IX passed. Now it's being ignored, and my gender's been put on the bench, only to make little cookie-cutter Stepford wives out of those who don't have any knowledge nor historical perspective. I guess we radical sisters dropped the ball. We didn't even see the radical fundies coming. Well, back then, Kate, nobody did, because up until about 1976, the radical fundies were really, really into being left alone by the government, with the understanding that if they left the government would leave them alone, and then came Jerry Falwell, and it all changed. But at the end of the day, the idea that a 12-year-old girl, who probably, has no compunction against going a crossing pattern over the middle, or if she's a corner or a linebacker, knocking the snot out of whoever's trying to do it. Well, she is at fault for causing lustful, impure thoughts. And then, you know, there's about 3 hours of radio to be done on the concept of how those thoughts are impure. Which is genderist, sexist, repressive, and comes, of course, from Where else? Oh, yeah, religion. Charming. So, wow. What a start for this Moran Monday. And by the way, just as an aside, Texas Betsy, who would have some, being a professional educator, would have some knowledge about things like this, in reference to the Fort Collins, who were those assholes? Did I say that? The school officials feared that young Coy Mathis would misuse the girls' bathroom. Texas Betsy merely points out, good grief, Bob. Have they ever seen how a large number of first-grade boys use the boys' restroom? And yes, they do. Even with the urinal sitting right there, hanging on the wall. They pee on the wall instead, or the floor, or each other. Stockton Larry in the chat room noting, you know, back in the day, Fort Carson was clearly identified as the place where God would insert if he gave the earth an enema. But Waggy, a football fan, obviously, any good coach would turn the misogyny of the opposing players against them as a tactical advantage on the field. Sure. Absolutely. So it is break time. Just hold on. Hold on, Marty. We're getting there. I just wanted to get that little trifecta out there for the filibuster. And thanks to Sal for getting things started this evening as far as meeting our evening's fundraising goal. Now we only need 14 more people at $10 apiece. We can do that, can't we? I sure hope so. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
Show you're feeling right. Wanted to be sure we It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
It's 22 minutes into that aforementioned second hour, but that's okay. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, Moran Monday. And Texas Betsy brought this to my attention just as sort of an addendum while we're still in Colorado. And this one's a little hard to, well, it's just another day in America. It's the story of a K through 12 principal who remains anonymous so as to protect the privacy of his son, because it is also very much the story of his son. 13 years old. The town is Norwood, Colorado. It's near Telluride. It happened last year at the high school wrestling tournament in Denver, in which, on an empty school bus, three upperclassmen attacked and, using a pencil, rectally raped a 13-year-old boy. When the boy's father, the school principal, reported the incident to police, the 500 or so folks who live in Norwood, Colorado, tormented him until he was forced to resign his position as a school principal and leave town. Students there in Norwood, Colorado, put stickers saying, "Go to hell," on his locker. They wore T-shirts with a rude, mocking, hateful slogan emblazoned across them. The attackers were later charged and allowed by the Denver District Attorney's Office to plead to misdemeanor for rape. "Nobody would help us," the father said. "We contacted everybody and nobody would help us." And the Denver Post article goes on to mention that this is a growing problem. Well, not a growing problem, but a problem. It used to go under the simple name of hazing. But really, it's more like torture. Between December and February, at what is described as the elite Bronx High School of Science, three teenage track team members were arrested after they repeatedly sexually abused him by holding him down and penetrating his rectum digitally. No resolution there yet. But 10% of high school boys report being victims of rape, forced oral sex, and other forms of sexual assault by other boys. And here's a hint for the homophobes out there. This ain't a gay issue any more than any other form of rape.
is a sex issue. Their 13-year-old son, the Denver Post story reads, was especially good at sports. A sturdy teenager with dimples and a quick smile, he started peewee wrestling at age 3. At home, he dazzled his family with his knowledge of sports trivia and enjoyed hanging out with his older brother. Yet in the months leading up to the attack, his mother became concerned that her usually easygoing son was being teased at school. In February 2012, the boy rode the bus to Denver as the team manager in charge of videotaping the older high school students at the meet. After the coaches and wrestlers left the bus to weigh in, three older and bigger boys pinned the younger boy down, bound him with tape, pulled down his pants, and assaulted him. And then they went and joked and laughed about it, the boys did. The boys who were allowed by the Denver District Attorney to plead to misdemeanors. They also got one day in school suspensions, the three rapists did. And neither the Norwood superintendent, David Cruz, nor the school board reported the incident to police. And once the principal, the father, did, he was driven from his job. And the children in the school would torment him by saying, "What's been stuck up your butt today?" On Facebook, he was told, "Rot in hell, liar." The story, sadly, quotes Jennifer Long, a waitress at the Hitchin' Post Cowboy Bar, what is described as a popular eatery on the town's main street. "When I was in school, there might have been bullying, but there was none of this crap about telling the school. How you gonna be tough if you don't get bullied sometimes?" That's right. Everybody needs a little dose of rape just to toughen them up a little bit. Rape some sense into them. Rape some manhood into them. The waitress, Jennifer Long, her husband said, "I got bullied as a kid because I had long hair and earrings. I played football, baseball, and soccer, and the older kids bullied me, but we always shook hands and it'd be over with. But today you can get prosecuted. It's all gone too far." Sheldon Klein, a 54-year-old electrician, said, "It should have been left alone. It should have been handled through the system here. If you publicize it, it gets blown out of proportion." How do you blow out of proportion a 13-year-old boy getting gang raped with a pencil by three older boys? Where does proportion fall into that scenario? After the arrests went down, Jessica Bicknace, who was the mother of one of the three accused, they were convicted, printed up T-shirts that had a slogan on it using the initials of the suspects. And a dozen of the kids wore the T-shirts to school one Friday. Lynn Kimbrough, a spokesman for the Denver District Attorney's Office, said they blamed our victim. There was a huge backlash, and everybody turned against this boy and his family for bringing trouble to their town. Really? Bringing trouble? They brought trouble? The rape victim brought trouble? Wow. So let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
So, Bob, where do we start?
I have no idea, Tracy. Where do you want to start?
Oh, okay, the knock-knock joke.
Yeah, that's on the list, too. Knock-knock, who's there?
And then we got Paula Smithfield Food trying to be the paragon of morality and ethics.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
You know, when you're Smithfield Foods and you maintain vast toxic seas of pig waste and you treat your workers about as poorly as the pigs themselves, short of the actual killing and disembowelment, I'm sorry, I found it a little bit humorous that they decided to sever ties with Paula Deen, even though I find Paula Deen to be obnoxious and hateful. And I'll go ahead and ask you, do you know the background story on Paula Deen?
Besides the fact that she was going around selling food, they used to call her the bag lady. Other than that, no.
No. She did, I think TPM dug it up. But she did
Oh, God.
Yeah. I like the, oh, God. Turns out she did a little bit of an autobiography a few years back.
Oh, no.
And she described how she, when she was a little girl,
oh, God,
the woman who came in and did the house cleaning, or maybe she was a cook or something. Maybe she's who Paula learned to cook from. Wasn't Mama after all.
No.
But the coolid lady who came in and did the cooking, one day she brought her daughter with her, about 10 years old. And Paula Deen describes how the daughter, and just trying to come up with how she got them is bad enough, but she said she had these blisters, these terrible blisters all over her arms. And I don't know what made me do it, but I had such a good time popping them blisters and making her cry.
Wait a second. Hold up. This is in writing?
Yes.
Okay. Compose yourself, Tracy. You know, I'm a little slow in the uptake sometimes, and I hear about these things after the fact, and I really got a dose of what happened at Netroots Nation. And she, you know, the fact of the matter that she even said, you know, when they asked her, well, have you said the, used the word N-word? The N-word, and she's like, yeah, so?
No, she said, like, of course I have.
Of course. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, and what's the problem? I'm from the South. That's what we do. Bob, you're from the South, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do?
No, I really try hard not to.
Liberal, if you're listening, you're from the South. Is that what you do and all the horn listeners that are from the South?
David from South Carolina doesn't do it. And I'm pretty sure Fritz in Arkansas doesn't do it. And it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So her response is like, well, hell yeah. Come on now. If I could, I'd stand right here in the courtroom. Now, come on.
Did you happen to see the New York Times story over the weekend?
No.
That was totally precious on the Paula Deen front, Tracy, because first of all, it was accompanied by one of the most ironic photos I think I've ever seen, with no hint of anything pointing to the irony of it.
Oh, those are usually the best ones.
Yeah, it showed a picture of a whole bunch of white folks lined up way out onto the sidewalk, waiting to get into Paula Deen's restaurant in Savannah.
Yes, I've seen that line.
Well, this particular picture, I looked, and I say this as a man who is overweight. I am. So I'm not shaming anybody.
Mm-mm.
But that line, there was not, I mean, it looked like what should have been the line outside a cardiac rehab clinic. I mean, you know, lots of sweatpants,
lots of t-shirts, lots of flip flops,
and lots of people with lots of to them.
Yeah,
but naturally, they did find one woman of color who was standing at the front of the line, who said, "I just came here to be supportive of Ms. Deen. I understand what she did and how she talks and everything, But, you know, that generation's just that way.
Holy shit.
Now, Paula Deen, and see, I wonder when we stop getting to use that excuse, because Paula Deen, Tracy, is 66 years old. Now, there's some math on the block.
She's not on the on that generation. My mom.
2007. That means she was born in 1947. Brown versus Board of Education would be decided 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Truman was integrating the U.S. military even as she was in her cradle.
Mm.
Yeah, you see my point. There isn't a that. Well, if we're going to cut, if we're going to cut her, if we're going to cut her slack,
I ain't doing it.
Then where's the cutoff? I mean,
where's the cutoff?
I'm a 1963 kid. I am literally the next to last year of the baby boom.
Exactly, you are.
And she is up toward the front end of the baby boom.
Yes, she is.
So are we saying that the baby boomers all get to throw that word around?
No. And that's and here is the point, is that that's the problem. Like you said, where the hell is the cutoff? When is it that you can say, you don't get a pass for this? Because, see, you're old enough, see, in my view, you're old enough to know better, okay? You're old enough to have been watching that TV too for a few years and that internet for a few years to see this stuff ain't cool no more, homie. Okay? So, you know, you just can't be going around. Well, of course, at least have the sense. At least have the common sense. Because, of course, people are going to still be using the N-word until, you know, infinity and beyond. But at least to have common sense, if you're a public figure who on that television thing and talk about how much you love folks and you want them to have the best meal ever and all this stuff here.
But I tell you what, there's a whole lot of hell popping up all around her. I mentioned the other night that I remembered when I was going to that meeting down in Mississippi. And we stayed at the casino hotel. I remembered walking over into the casino just to see it and seeing Paula Deen's home cooking Southern Cafe.
Yeah, when I went to North Carolina, when I was up at Harris up in the mountains, I can't figure where I was. But and I'm all excited. Ooh, I finally get to try me at Paula. I finally get to go to the Paula Deen Cafe. Woo-hee! I was so excited until I ate the food. And I was out of the fish grease. I'm like, come on, yo.
Yeah.
You know,
the interesting thing is, I forget which casino consortium it is, but they are presently reconsidering whether they wish to continue having a contractual relationship with Ms. Deen.
Well, it might be Harris because, like, I'm pretty sure you said you were in Mississippi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Harris because I know they have a couple.
But I think Harris is owned by Caesars. Caesars owns Harris.
Caesar owns Harris, yes.
Yeah, it was Caesars.
So, yeah. See, it's she has set up off a shit store that I didn't.
But the funny thing, as is always the case, Tracy, there's a story under the story that's more of a story than the story being represented.
And that story would be?
Well, the business with the slapping the little 10-year-old's blisters.
Yes, you know.
I mean, that's Dahmer-esque.
It's like, wait a second, bitch. You thought that shit was coming for somebody that had skin issues and stuff like that? And still suffers from time to time from outbreaks of different things. It ain't fun with people popping your blisters now. That shit hurt. And so, but she being who she was at that time, it was like, so what? Is this a nigga gal? So what if I'm popping her blisters? she should just sit there and enjoy it, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I just, it's just when you hear, what I'm shocked at, though, you know, Bob, I'm actually shocked at the reaction from her sponsor. Because typically when we have stuff like this, you know, what's his name, the one that called the girls' basketball team a bunch of nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah, that would be that tired old DJ.
Right. And so, I mean, they slapped him on the wrist. He got fired or what have you. But then like a year later, if that, he was back on the air or what have you. So, I mean.
And listen, Rush Limbaugh never missed a day. That time when he told the caller, call me back when you get the bone out of your nose.
Right. Exactly. Never miss a day. And so I'm pretty sure Ms. Dean probably said, you know, when all this started happening, and she's probably thinking, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm good. Because, like you said, nobody really gets in trouble for saying and do, you know, when it comes to you're going to go around, I'm backing up, so nobody really gets in trouble for saying horrible things about people of color. It's like, yeah, so I said it, big deal, you know, moving on. I'm shocked about the reaction. I mean, I'm shocked about how, you know, now you talk about the casino, about maybe cutting ties. She got fired from the Food Network. Smithfield Foods is a joke. I don't give a damn what they do.
Yeah, but that's a huge contract. I mean, she's been with Smithfield since 2006, back when Smithfield was still basically in a state of open hostility with the folks who were trying to organize their mega slaughter facility in Tar
right.
Heel, North Carolina.
Exactly. Where you can, like you said, you're swimming in a sea of pig entrails and blood.
Oh, and lots of other stuff that we don't
want. And lots of other stuff that we don't want. It's dinner hour back east, so we don't want to go there. But I'm shocked. I'm pleasingly happy, though, because it's like maybe we're moving toward, you know, you just can't. I mean, unfortunately, we can't get rid of Rush. I think he's just going to have, you know, die. And that's. But then again, even if he dies, you still have, you know, all of his recordings and his writings and stuff. It's like, what did I say? I think there's how many people? There's people who have long been dead and who are still wreaking havoc in our lives.
I think of John C. Calhoun.
That and L. Ron Hubbard.
Yep.
And Ayn Rand.
Yep.
And, and out here, Howard Jarvis, if you, with the Prop 13 that we might be able to finally get rid of out here in California that single-handedly decimated the California school. That one proposition. So, I mean, these are people who are long dead, long dead. And I think even after Rush dies, it'll still, we could add him to the list. I really think it would be like, you know, because it's just, I mean, hell, okay, like you like that tweet that I sent out about Netroot.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of which, I got an email in here from Kevin in Colorado Springs saying, ask Tracy to give us some of her thoughts on Netroots. I saw a tweet from her over the weekend, and I'm curious for her to go into more detail.
Okay, well, it was an experience, but I felt like I was talked at and not talked to, spoken to. There were some really amazing caucuses and stuff, but again, if this is supposed to be progressive works and action, why was there no training on how to be, you know, in the digital age? I mean, you know me and electronics and all things digital. I still have to call my son. I mean, the main reason why I went to Netroots is so I could learn how to
interact with the Netroots?
Yes. Yes. That's, you know, instead of having... So you know me. I don't know if you've noticed, Bob, but I'm a bit of a troublemaker.
No.
And so my first caucus that I went to was the LGBT caucus, right? So I'm looking around, and, of course, you know, they had broke everybody up in groups about what we could do. You know, they had the media part of the LGBT and this part, and then the people like me who weren't part of any particular group other than being gay. So I'm looking around, and so finally it's my turn to speak. Oh, why do they do that? I said, well, speaking from somebody that's, you know, longtime black person and only been gay for 10 minutes, I want to tell you, and I'm pretty sure you know because you guys are all into data and research and all that, but coming from somebody like me, I could tell you why you lost Prop 8. I said, first of all, I could see that I'm not even included in this group. I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody here that looks like me. I said, why is it that the face of gay America are usually two white, affluent males? What's the difference between you guys, I mean us, and the rest of the world? If you're not even reaching out to the other people in your group. I said, had you guys gone out to the black community and actually talked to some ministers about taking the religion, you know, that's out of Prop 8 and talking to them about a civil rights issue, things might have been different. We might not be at the Supreme Court keeping our fingers crossed about abolishing Prop 8, about how unconstitutional it is. And they said, well, you know, I said, no. I don't want to hear, because don't come at me with, well, you know, the black community isn't very receptive to us, and a lot of black people that are gay are closeted. And I'm like, I know quite a few black people that are not closeted. And I've talked to them about it. Hell, I'm not. And I said, even I know straight black people who fought hard for against Prop 8 out here in L.A. But we had no backup from the gay community. And why was that? Oh, you guys didn't let us sit at the table. So.
Wait, what?
That was.
Who didn't let who sit at which table?
You know, the gay people with the black community. It's like, you know, we want, I mean, I can't, and I said, no, I'm not speaking for the entire black community.
Mighty nice of you, because there's a lot of people out there who are willing to speak for all kinds of communities.
Yeah, you know, but I mean,
I got folks running around saying they're my Appalachian voice.
I know they do. And it's like, and you wonder why stuff doesn't go, you know, happen. And then I went to the Women's Caucus, and again, I'm the darkest person in the room. And I said, you know, I cried about, you know, Newtown, and I cried about Columbine and all the other mass shootings that we've had in the last year and all of this. But in L.A. and in Oakland and, hell, I'm pretty sure in San Jose where this conference is being held, they have Newtown every day. Where you white folks cry for the black children?
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's complicated. I said, how complicated is it? You come out to our communities and you say this is some bullshit and something needs to be done. How about that? How hard is that? I mean, I'm not asking you guys to, you know, throw money at the problem.
Yeah, but Tracy, let me throw something out in the other direction, if I may, please. And I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable.
You are disagreeing to be disagreeable because that's who you are.
Now you quit that. and I say this from my standpoint of dealing with issues here in Appalachia. About the most offensive thing that can happen to people who work on the ground in the grassroots is to have smart people who have answers come in and tell you what you need to do. I mean, I was, and I hope I did it right. I was kindly, invited out
to
Wisconsin.
No.
I was kindly invited out to Wisconsin to talk a little bit about mountaintop removal and what's headed for the Pinokies. And I tried at every turn to say, please, understand, I am not telling you anything. I'm not even suggesting anything to you. I am merely telling you what our experience has been and what you may expect based upon the people involved. The solutions are gonna have to come from you. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. This is still a story that struggles to get any kind of legs or get on anybody's radar, but there is some serious stink going on. I mean, they are folks up in Ashland and Iron counties who are opposed to being poisoned are raising seven shades of hell. But the thing is, some of it doesn't even look like hell. There's an occupation going on up in the Pinoki Hills that is pure genius. The folks from the Lac Couturier Band have come up and set up a harvest and education camp right there in the middle of what they want to blow the hell out of. And they don't plan to be moved.
Were you the one that tweeted about the indigenous people in South America, that they, the chiefs, that they said to go see Avatar?
Yeah. I did that yesterday just as a reminder that Ecuador is not the paradise that it has been portrayed to be.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, my thing about Netroots was there was a whole lot of glad handing and, you know, look at what we've done kind of. Am I not to say that I wouldn't go back, but what was pissing me off about it, because every time I brought up diversity, you know, where are the people of color, where are the women and all that? Well, it's a lot better than it used to be. And that right up there goes hand in hand with what you said about Paula Deen, about, well, when do we stop giving people a pass? When is it unacceptable as people keep, well, it's better than it used to be. And did I draw a good, was that a good correlation between
no,
the two?
Yeah, that is. That is. By the way, you're getting just got a note from Marty.
Uh-oh.
No, it ain't a problem. He just says, tell Tracy, I know far more black people than you do who were vehemently for Prop 8. He's not saying he knows more black people than you do. He's saying
right.
He knows more black people who were, you know, hardcore in favor of Proposition 8. And he continues,
oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't want to hear anything about Tracy and Tracy's situation.
Nope. I mean, but see, here's the deal. The people that I talked to when I came from a different angle, I mean, remember, I grew up in the Baptist church. Come on now. And I have approached it in such a way with my friends and family who are hardcore Baptists. I mean, is there a black equivalent to evangelicals?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, that's
yeah. Evangelicism knows no racial boundaries.
Okay, you see, evangelicism.
Yeah, evangelicals.
But when I've
been calling them that for years.
I like that one, but when you come at it, I don't know. Like I said, I've talked to people, and I'm like, look, I'm a Christian, I'm black, and I'm gay. And no, I wasn't, you know, I was, oh, I had a guy in my cab the other day. I wish I could have recorded this conversation that I had. There was this big, conference here right before I left. And he was complaining. He was asking me how much it would cost to get downtown to Hollywood. And I said, anywhere between $25 and $30 because of the traffic. And he went on and rant about California traffic. And he said, well, the only thing, see, I'm from Florida. That's where he's from. And the only thing you Californians ever got right but in the thing was Prop 8.
Get out. Just pull over to the side. Get out.
No. I let him talk. I, you know, So we were driving, and he's going on and on about, you know, Prop 8 this, and, you know, how is California, why is there a problem? Why are Californians already all of a sudden changing their mind about this Prop 8 nonsense? It's God's law. And I'm just letting him talk, Bob. You would have been proud of me.
You probably weren't able to eat for a week from having bit on your tongue so hard.
I'm telling you, but I let him talk. And then he started in about, you know, how black people about, you know, they voted against for Prop 8 and this and that. And then I let him have it. I finally said, well, you know, I'm gay. Because he would say, you know, the gays, he has it in people's mind that you could change people into gay. And
oh, you can pray the gay away.
That you could pray the gay away. And it's, they're science.
But oddly enough, they can pray the gay away, but they can't pray away the lustful and impure thoughts of seventh grade boy football players.
Football players. And he's like, there's scientific proof that people aren't born gay and blah, blah. And that this is just the thing. If you pray hard enough, you can pray the gay away. And
baby, I'm dropping you in West Hollywood.
Oh, no. So finally I said, sweetie, I hate to burst your delusional bubble. I said, but I'm gay. He's like, but you're black.
No.
I said, you mean I can't? I said, wait. And I'm trying to keep, you know, I couldn't turn around because I'm driving, so I could go, what? I said, wait, are you telling me that because I'm black, that precludes me from being gay? He's like, well, black people aren't gay.
And me without my tequila bottle.
And I said, what? Who told you that black people are gay? He's like, well, you know, the black church and all this, they're solely, firmly against gay marriage and all this. I said, okay. That some people in the black church, yes, are firmly against.
Yeah, we've got a toaster nominee in the chat room just now. Bean just said, you should have turned to him and said, I hate to burst your blister, but
if I had known about the blisters back when I had this conversation 2 weeks ago, I would have been on it. But I told him, I said, how is that? I said, racism knows no bounds now. That this, I can't even be included in being gay because I'm black. Oh, and I said, and is it because I'm a woman too? Is it because I said, so black people, black women aren't allowed to be gay?
Right. Because of the iron-fisted grip of the black church. Hey, I gotta ask you. Sparky reminded me not just a Netroots Nation report, but we need the complete Tracy's all the way up to Oregon and back report.
Well, that trip. Well, we flew into San Jose and drove from San Jose to Redding late at night. Things look different on the map, Bob. Do they do an actual progress? But let me tell you, drive from Redding up to Portland. We woke up Thursday morning at 6 a.m. and we're on the road 7 a.m. and we were in Portland, Oregon, with stops in between by 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon or 1 o'clock. Yes. But let me tell you, that scenery, we went through Crater Lake and through up around Mount Shasta and all of that. And I have never seen such beautiful. I was like, oh, God. And Portland is amazing. And we actually had sunshine the few days we were there. And then the drive from Portland all the way down the coast to Crescent City, and then from the city, we did the whole Redwood thing. Now, along the way, you know I had to stop and eat.
I would be disturbed had you not.
So, one of the first, on the way was we stopped at the Tillamook Creamery.
Well, that sounds promising.
Bob, what has been on earth for me, a righteous lover of all things dairy, and here I am in the land of Tillamook cheese. And they had cheese samples. Bob, they had samples of free cheese. They had this pepper, chili, cheddar, jack thing.
Oh, glory.
Oh, Jesus. I called Jesus a couple of times because they had a God, Jesus himself had to lay his hand in that milk to come up with such divine thing. Oh, then there was the ice cream, Bob.
Oh, the Tillamook ice cream, too?
Tillamook ice cream, Bob. I didn't even know there was such a thing as I knew about the cheese, of course. Who doesn't know about Tillamook cheese? But you, apparently you, like I, had no idea that there was such a thing as Tillamook ice cream.
See, you're so far ahead of the game, though, Tracy, because there's so much more. There's so much I may never discover and may only experience vicariously through stories like this.
Bob, it brought a tear. I had some caramel coffee crunch. They had the three samplers. So Jan got the mocha coffee concoction, and I got the caramel coffee mocha something or another, all that in the same bowl. In a waffle cone bowl dipped in chocolate with triple vanilla bean ice cream.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. I said, glory be, praise Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, it was, and then we stopped.
Okay. So we've got questions coming in here. Marty wants to know: did you drive PCH 101 or I-5?
Oh honey, PCH 101. We did. I've been trying to send you pictures and share on the horn page, but every time I try, it keeps saying not able to share or something. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, I'm entirely the wrong person to ask about that because I know next to nothing.
Right. See, again, that whole digital bullshit thing that we know nothing about. But
well,
we
I've about. From the second or third revamp of Facebook, I just kind of gave up.
I gave up too.
I taught Twitter to send my tweets to Facebook, and I quit. And I'll go and respond to stuff from time to time, but it is anything but my long suit.
No, it's awful.
A comment coming in, going back to Prop 8 and California. Sandra, with an observation. She says, black people make up 6% of the population in California, so how much of an impact did their vote for Prop 8 have? She says, it's a bit overblown. But, you know, and that's the question. It's not about how many there are, it's how many go to the polls.
Well, for Prop 8 came out the same time as the election, the vote for President 2008. And so, like Senator said, only 6% of the population. However, they were out voting for once. You know, nobody votes in L.A. That's another thing. This whole thing about the black church and saving marriage. And I'm like, in defense of marriage for black people, other than besides the fact that I am with a woman now, but before in 2008, I never even thought about being with a woman. I have a better chance at that point to survive a terrorist attack that I had to get married to a black man. So it's like, why black folks were so up in arms about saving an institution that very few of us participated in, that tickled me too. I'm like, we got to save marriage. Why? Why y'all got to save marriage? No, I don't know. I'm thinking about all the black people that I know that are in relationships, that are in committed relationships, in my family. Out of all the members of my family, there's only one marriage at this moment that is, they've been together all this time. Everybody else, they either never got married or they're living with someone or, yeah. You know.
And that may not entirely, and that may not be entirely comprised of gay people, I think, is your point.
As what?
I think that, and the fact that all those unmarried folks are not necessarily all gay people.
No. No. I'm the only openly gay person in my family, in my immediate family, or, you know, and a couple of folks back, openly gay.
But remember, you know, all this saving marriage stuff is just,
bullshit.
In a 5-pound onion bag, 10 pounds of it in a 5-pound onion bag.
It's ridiculous.
Remember,
I'm worried about
down there in traditional marriage saving, the traditional marriage saving Confederacy, they have the highest divorce rates in the country, and the lowest are up in them heathen liberal states, or out in them heathen liberal states.
Well, that's what tickles me. I'm like,
and that's,
so
and you know,
concerned.
In excess of 50% of marriages fail. And that's white folks' marriages, black folks' marriages, Asian folks' marriages, marriage.
Fail.
If you had a 50% failure rate on any other institution, it would be declared an overall failure.
Failure. I mean, if you're so concerned about this getting married, should you just outlaw divorce so nobody could get divorced anymore? You know, if you're so concerned.
Murder rate would go up. You know, that's kind of like Sanfronia Thompson in Texas making all those right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, womb-protecting Republicans look at that coat hanger while she was talking. Abortions might go down that you know of. Legal abortions might go down. But abortion is not going to go down.
I mean, and like you, and that's a beautiful point you just said. How are you going? I mean, like you said, abortions have been going on since women were pregnant. Okay, it just took different shapes, forms, and measures. However, privileged people who had the money, if Sissy Sue got pregnant, got knocked up. Two things happened from all those old, you know, melodramas that I used to, were made in the...
Well, and again, that just reinforces the point that when we talk about limiting access to women's reproductive health care, what we are really talking about is, and we'll need another adjective for this, limiting access to, limiting poor women's access to reproductive health care, because mommy and daddy can always fly precious Lumpkin up somewhere where it'll be took care of.
The mother and daughter would go on vacation.
Yeah, and then you just crank up the theme to a summer place and, you know, problem solved.
And problem solved, or that they would come back and mommy would have, Sissy would have a baby brother and mommy would have a new son. Whereas it was really Sissy's son and mommy's grandbaby. And so, I've
been known to happen.
Been known to happen, but I think mostly what happened is what you said. Somebody got shipped off to Sweden or Canada or any of these those socialist medicine countries.
We always heard Massachusetts was beautiful in January. Little darling ain't never seen snow, and we just decided it's time to come.
We got to go over there and see. You know, we want some of that clam chowder and those clam bait.
Yeah, look, clam chowder in a D&C, and then back home to God's country.
And back home to God's country, where everything, you know, is awesome.
Yeah, and by the way, you just got a note in from News Ninja Gene. He says, Tracy, you're making me homesick. God, I miss Portland. Now I want wood-fired pizza. Gene, formerly a Portland resident.
Oh, Gene, I went to these restaurants. Now, this is what tickles me. I, about Portland. You know, this is my first trip. And, you know, I'm from California, and we take our food seriously here. No. I felt Portland, I mean, they will tell you every single bean on that coffee, exactly how it was ground, that they'll know the indigenous person and what, where that, you know, that it was, fairly grown, and they'll know the name of the person who picked the bean to be shipped to you for your enjoyment. It was the most amazing. And then I did voodoo donuts, of course. I did the voodoo donut. It's, how are you going to have a donut with maple donut with bacon? How are you not going to do it? How are you not going to do that, Bob? I mean.
Was that the bacon donut?
It was a donut. It was a maple bar, regular maple bar, but with a strip of bacon across it.
Shoot.
And I looked at it long and hard and tried to convince myself not to eat it, that it would just be a terrible thing to do. But I said, screw it, I'm going to do it. And it was just, oh.
Well, see, this is just driving me crazy because here in a couple more weeks, and I'm terrified that I'll be out of town when it happens, the tomatoes are going to come right.
Oh.
And that means I'm going to have to order in a package of Benton's bacon from the Smokies.
Yeah.
If you've not if you've not yet ordered your Benton's bacon, you are denying yourself unfairly.
Okay, I will.
It's not, but that BLT is calling my name. And frankly, for some reason or another, and it's probably not going to happen. Did I lose you? Dang, I lost Tracy. But I have got the awfulest hankering to head south. And over a hot dog, a hamburger, and a slab of barbecued ribs, I kid you not. And a certain little music festival in northwest Alabama. So, well, sorry I lost you, Tracy. We're going to move on, folks. Next in line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Good evening.
Goodness gracious. Get a Brian Morans. Get a Brian.
Yep, get a Brian Morans.
It's never ending. I couldn't take it.
How you doing, Brother Albert?
Oh, man. Well, I'm trying, you know. You know, it's just the authoritarian, isn't it? They just never stop. And it's sad when you have the authoritarian, patriarchal, male mind, you know, have a few women folk on their side. That's always the most disappointing to me, you know.
Southern Living Barbie there?
Yeah, well, what was the one in, you know, when you were talking about the rape kits, a DNC?
Yeah, that's Southern Living Barbie. That's...
It shorts me out. It just shorts me out how stupid and absurd it is. And then and the pencil in the butt, it's the victim's fault. I don't even understand. I don't understand what kind of nonsense crap this is. It never ends, though. And this is, you know, I got children. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what to say. You know, Moran Monday indeed. It's more and more. It's just Moran nonstop.
Like I say, you know, head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans.
Yeah, it's above the upper lip. I mean, this is, you know, it's rough, and it's just, you know, and you're right. I think, you know, collectively, you know, I think we're rejecting these things, but. It really is, you know, just the fact that the collective, you know, culture is rejecting them, that is salt in their wound, and that they're just, you know, they're just spitting out mucus and writhing on the ground, and it's just ugly. And I mean, I hope, I don't know what it, I don't, I mean, I don't know what it would, what we could ever say or do or show them to make them stop. I mean, it's almost, you know, we need, you know, their amygdala drones, you know, so fear is first and foremost in their mind's eye. So truth happens to be, you know, like the salt for them. It's silver. It's, you know, it ruins them. And, you know, that's why, you know, you see what you see and everywhere you see it, you know, the stand, you know, when we came out with that, with those terms for these states, you know, it was, you know, part in jest, but, I mean, they are the stands. They are the Taliban. These people, I mean, the only thing separating them is that they're not just running around throwing acid into the faces of girls who want to play some football or whatever, you know, girls that don't want to play field hockey, you know, so, you know, they're not executing them, you know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
And we should be grateful for that, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I mean,
well, it's like something Cassie wrote in a few minutes ago. She dropped a note in, and she says, rape isn't rape and assault isn't assault. This is exactly like Steubenville talking about the case out in Denver. And the Texas legislature and controlling whether children can play sports and which restroom they should use. Victims don't count. Women don't count. Children don't count. Only the bullies count. Lawmaking bullies. School administrator bullies. Football team bullies. Never the victims. Nope. Adding, Paula Deen bullies matter more than dark-skinned 10-year-olds. Until we value each other, and you're gonna love this, given the position you occupy as the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Until we value each other as humans, deserving honor and respect, this will just continue, and you'll be reading variations on the same story every day forever. As a society, we are much better off if we value each other.
Amen.
And see, the neat thing about that is, Cassie didn't get all of that at Princeton. She had a whole bunch of that already well-centered before she ever even left Austin. Cassie has added to her storehouse of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, but the essential underpinnings of decency were in place before she ever packed her bags.
Yep.
And well, that goes to show that it is possible.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this stuff, you know, you don't get from book learning. And, you know, and as a culture, we have so many problems that are facing us. I mean, you mentioned up Cassie, and you know, and I'm glad, I'm proud of her, with her book learning and just her core decency. But you know, it's kind of scary when you bring that up, you know, knowing, because I have some children a little younger than her, and I wonder how much school is going to cost at that time. And you know, it turns into, you know, like we were saying with Tracy just a little earlier, you know, like, oh, you know, you guys can, you know, mom and sister can go on vacation. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, really affects our economic class. And we all know that fear is the mind killer, and that's why, you know, we don't live by fear, but there are things that doesn't mean that we're immune from it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't, you know, just because we, you know, face our fear and let it pass over and through us, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us or it doesn't, you know, it's a challenge in our lives.
No, and you want to pull that hand out of that box because it gets a little hot and prickly in there, but, you know, that Dom Jabbar at your neck, well.
Yeah, well, it kills animals. And so the whole point of, you know, of keeping that hand in the box is to show that you are a human and not an animal. But I see a world that, you know, we really, really need to start, you know, I mean, not only addressing each other as individual human beings. I mean, and damn right, who the hell, what 6-year-old is going to say I want to be? Yeah, that's who you are. And what the hell is, what does anyone know? Well, if nobody knows anything, I mean, I can't even imagine what that poor 6-year-old kid is going to have. Now all the students know.
But you know, but you know what her response was? And this was the beautiful, beautiful part of it, Brother Albert. When they told her that she could go to school, the first thing she said so I can go to school and make friends?
Mm.
That's the little beautiful moment.
Yeah.
But they're still going to... And you know what? The fact of the matter is, the teachers and the administration are going to be the one, and the rest of the grown-ups are going to be the ones that determine whether... whether Coy Mathis has a good experience, because the little her classmates aren't going to know one way or the other, because since they're all obsessed about bathrooms, little Coy Mathis will go into a stall and close a door.
Yep.
And so, barring someone getting gropey, there's not going to be an issue. She's just going to be a sweet little girl in school. Now, you want to know, you want to know, and I hate myself for even being able to take myself to this place in my mind. But there are elements, and you know this, you're a parent. There are elements of non-sexual sexuality that manifest, you know, around first, second, third grade. I can remember being... I mean, you know, it's, you have no, but I remember being a first grader, and there are certain, and there were certain girls, and I just looked and went, she's pretty. Mm-hmm. And that's about all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen when some little boy, and I'm not saying that there any, the parents are doing right or wrong. I think they're doing the right thing. But I don't trust other parents in a place that is not too far from the knuckle walkers to do the right thing. What's going to happen when their darling little son comes home and says, I think Coy's cute. Maybe take him outside and give him a sound thrashing to beat the gay out of him?
Well, yeah, I mean, if...
That ain't a real, girl, son!
I'll rape some sense into them. Yeah, that's, you know, I life is hard enough, and just being quote unquote normal, life is hard enough. You know, I don't know why anybody would, you know, I guess other than just to shit on the person, but they quote, you know, that they think are beneath them. That's the only thing I can, you know, that's the only mentality I can see here. I mean, don't forget it either. You know, Colorado has a Colorado Stan aspect of it. They want to leave Colorado, you know, and leave, you know, right?
Well, remember, Galt's Gulch in that awful book was, of course, cited in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, there is that element of people who are going to pull themselves up from their own bootstraps and have the rising tide lift all boats and freedom and Wolverines, right?
Wolverines, yeah. But my question to you, though, Brother Bob, is when are these right-wing authoritarians going to show some results or at least acknowledge them? You know, out here in Wisconsin, Stan, you know, we have Governor Scott Walker, and this guy... I mean, George Bush couldn't drive this place, this state, any further through the deck. This guy is just ridiculous in every way, shape, and form. And all he's doing is, I mean, basically, he was Wisconsin's, you know, third Bush term. And I mean, what were we, 49?
And what's terrifying is, assuming that he gets reelected, I've got him at even odds to be the 2016 Repiglican nominee for president.
Well, we have a minimum of 5 million more votes than they do, so I'm not worried regarding that. You know, the state issues, you know, that's where it starts getting a little, you know, that's where the races are actually a race. You know, I think if we can still mobilize, I don't know. I mean, I don't see what, you know, I haven't really been paying attention. I know I see this guy Snowden, this Paul Bott guy. What did he do? Tell us something we already knew?
Well, there's that. And then he told us today that he wasn't exactly a whistleblower, that he deliberately pursued the job with Booz Allen so that he could get information and I guess become a whatever it is he is.
Yeah, he may have wanted to read those forms he had to sign. That's
there are some forms involved.
Yeah, there's a couple, and that really screws him that he says that, because that's how I was in.
Well,
I have a I had a top secret clearance, and I remember all that stuff. And you know, I mean, I read that stuff as much as I could. My brain could absorb at the time. But it's a lot easier to and more clear cut to read that than it is like a mortgage. You know, I mean, nobody understands a mortgage, and they only write them for bankers and, you know, Ferengi language. And so the Ferengis know what they, you know, they know their deal, and that's that. But when you're dealing with, you know, those sorts of, you know, you cannot do that. I mean, you cannot go, oh, I got the job because I wanted to do espionage, or I wanted to, you know, collect data. You know, you can't have an ulterior motive. You're supposed to go there and, you know, serve the country and do whatever you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, granted, you know, I think, well, we have over a million clearances. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there with clearances. And, you know, I mean, I still don't understand with, you know, why this guy, you know, decided to do what he did. He didn't tell us anything that we, that nobody, anybody who's been paying attention knows this already. I mean, I said it, you know, I wonder where I rank on the phone calls list. You know, and they're not listening to you. They're not listening to me. You know, all this stuff goes in a big database and a computer, you know, and HAL 7000 goes through it. You know, and if it, you know, happens to turn up all bombs and this and halal and, you know, then maybe, you know, it's something to go look at. And, you know, from what they say, oh, it does this, it does that, you know, but to think that, you know, that's the same thing. The technology is going to advance, and these technologies are going to open up doors and windows that, you know, aren't going to be, you know, they're going to be into gray areas. And, you know, I mean, I still don't see it. I still don't see 1984. I don't see it.
I'm not negating the whole thing, Brother Albert.
Yeah.
Among other things, I think, and the sad thing is that in his relentless self-promotion, Glenn Greenwald and Eddie Snowden have obfuscated the actual issue.
Yes.
And for me, the actual issue is that there are tens of thousands of people with top secret clearances who owe no allegiance whatsoever to the United States of America and only to a corporation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, all of these programs, which, yes, we've known about for some time,
mm-hmm.
were promulgated as profit vehicles for the likes of Booz Hamilton, Booz Allen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then you can sort of layer on the fact, and I don't know, that I've been kind of worried about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, and I worry about it on a number of levels.
Mm-hmm.
We're trusting our data to corporations.
Mm-hmm.
If your Gmail address has gotten a lot of email in it that you don't want to delete, sooner or later you have to pay for storage on that, and if you don't maintain that storage forevermore, it just goes away as far as you're concerned. Now, they can access it if they want to because they've got some sort of joint ownership to it or perceive
mm-hmm.
that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I've noted, the same reason that I tell Agnes and I tell our kids, you don't put everything up on your Instagram account or your Facebook account or your Twitter account. There's just it's not a diary.
No.
And, you know, the fact that Facebook has been used in so many instances for just really, really vicious bullying. Well, they're not concerned about that as long as their ads are popping up on the page where the bullying is. Of course, at the same time, people had to move heaven and earth, Brother Albert, just to get Facebook to stop treating a photograph of a mother breastfeeding her child
mm-hmm.
as pornography.
Yeah.
Now, this stuff gives me the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, and this is the pragmatic side of me, I get to thinking about the interweb tubes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I think of is the interstate highway system.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I am wrong, but were the interstate highways not originally designed as the National Military Defense Highway System? Wasn't that the only way we could get it built was by saying it was to protect us against the commies?
Yep. Same thing with the Internet, too. I mean,
and Yes, the same thing with the internet. It is a Defense Department project.
Yep.
And so who's surprised by the fact that the Defense Department would be trying to exploit a program that was started by the Defense Department? There's that.
Yeah. Who's shocked that they can go into any nodule they want? And then there's this.
People complain about openness or on the internet. Okay? I don't know exactly how open you want the internet to be. I don't mean you, but you know, it's a beautiful vehicle for aspirational democracy.
Look at Brazil, right?
Right.
Turkey. You know,
yeah, there's this guy who calls himself a journalist in Brazil. And there's this huge, huge social movement happening all around him that involves civil liberties. But they don't get through his white privilege filter. Can't figure that out. But anyway, who would we like here on this little planet? Who would we like to build an internet that will be truly democratic? I know, Costa Rica. They've got the infrastructure to do that. No.
Yeah. No.
Ecuador? No, they're busy oppressing their own indigenous peoples and, you know, doing murder and stuff like that. I don't think Cuba's going to be able to do it. Venezuela? No, don't see that.
Uh-huh.
No. I know. That Middle Eastern nation that runs Al Jazeera, they seem to put a lot of money in it. Yeah, no. I guess. No. Hey, the Russians.
Yeah, the Russians.
I bet they'll do a free and open internet.
Yeah, wouldn't they? China, too.
Oh, yes, indeedy. Because, after all, China values freedom. We've already been told that.
Yeah. See, yeah.
Or they value democracy or something like that.
Yeah.
Right after they've inspected your four computers.
Yeah.
But there's another side to this, Albert. And for this, I need a clip because it will provide us with a giggle. That story that came out today about Snowden, it's not just the NSA. Once again, this is not an NSA story. This is a corporate, profitized, military-industrial complex story. But with his revelations today, and apparently of all the people who are advising him, none of them are lawyers, because if any of them were, they would have said, you know what, about a week and a half ago was the time for you to shut them up.
Yeah,
I can't be your lawyer unless you make it possible for me to defend you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe don't go to Cuba. Maybe don't go to China. Maybe don't go to Russia.
Or maybe just shut up.
Yeah, maybe just. Yeah.
I mean, the good lawyers out there, when you're really in the deep and smelly, they will tell you, rule one, talk to no one. Rule two, talk to no one. Rule three, shut the up. Rule four, see rules one, two, and three. But he didn't, and he gave this latest story about how he only took the job with Booz Allen to raid their files. And see, there is a constitution out there, but there's a certain element among our side of this discussion that is absolutely obsessed with declaring that it just. Well, I'm not going to go into it. But the thing is, the Constitution applies to the government. It largely does not apply to private entities, like, corporations. Unless, of course, those corporations want to exert political influence, and then they're persons for purposes of Citizens United. A lot of hypocrisy to go around here. But for instance, let's choose something that's totally innocuous. Let's say that you're a world famous TV celebrity chef.
Okay.
And it turns out you use a certain racial epithet a lot.
Of course.
And let's say you've got sponsors who are paying you gigabucks to be their corporate face. And when they find out that you throw around the N-word like beads at a Mardi Gras parade, and they say, well, We've decided not to renew your contract.
I can see Paula up on a balcony.
I know. Well, you know what? There are a lot of people out there, and I've already seen some of it in stories, saying things like, well, they're ain't Paula Deen got a right to free speech? Which, of course, just makes the little hairs stand up and march on the back of my neck. Because, oh, look, you failed civics.
Yeah.
Because the Constitution does not, the First Amendment does not apply to, well, corporations, because they're not the government, and the Constitution applies to, government.
Yeah.
So, they're free to do that. And now, Booz Allen, if they can catch up with him, is free to turn Eddie Snowden's life into something that will make Charles Dickens's Jarndyce versus Jarndyce in Bleak House look like Night Court. And the first thing I thought of when I read that he had said that, he only did this, he only took the job of the corporation in order to do what he did. First thing I thought of, if you'll pardon me for just a minute, and I hope you can hear it, is this.
Where are you taking me?
The main gate.
Colonel, I must know what you think has been going on here.
You want to know what I think?
Yes.
I think you're some kind of deviated prevert. I think General Ripper found out about your preversion and that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts. Now move. On top of that, I don't know anything about any planes attacking Russia. All I was told to do was get General Ripper on the phone with the President of the United States.
Now, just one second. You just said the President.
What about the President?
Now, the President wants to speak to General Ripper, doesn't he? Now, General Ripper is dead, is he not? I am General Ripper's executive officer, so the President will bloody well want to speak to me, won't he? There's a telephone box over there, and the line may be open.
You want to talk to the President of the United States?
I don't want to talk to him, Colonel. I've got to talk to him. And I can assure you, if you don't put that gun away and stop this stupid nonsense, the Court of Inquiry on this will give you such a pranging, you'll be lucky if you end up wearing the uniform of a bloody toilet attendant.
Okay, go ahead. Try and get the President of the United States on the phone. If you try any perversions, and I'll blow your head off.
Operator, this is Group Captain Lionel Mandrake. I'm speaking from Burpleson Air Force Base. Look, something very urgent has come up, and I want you to place an emergency person-to-person call with President Merkin Muffley in the Pentagon, Washington, D.C. Burpleson 39180. No, I'm perfectly serious, operator. The President, yes, the President of the United States. Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't got enough change. Could you make this a collect call, operator?
We're coming to it.
Just one second, operator. They won't accept the call. Have you got 55 cents?
Well, you don't think I'd go into combat with loose change in my pocket, do you?
Operator, look, is it possible to make this an ordinary trunk call? Well, what do you call it? You know, station to station. Oh, blast. I'm still 20 cents short. Operator, hold on one. I shan't keep you a second. Colonel, that Coca-Cola machine, I want you to shoot the lock off it. There may be some change in there.
That's private property.
Colonel, can you possibly imagine what is going to happen to you, your frame outlook, way of life and everything, when they learn that you have obstructed a telephone call to the President of the United States? Can you imagine? Shoot it off! Shoot with a gun! That's what the bullets are for, you twit!
Okay. I'm going to get your money for you. But if you don't get the President of the United States on that phone, you know what's going to happen to you?
What?
You're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
you're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, and there's a beauty in that, Brother Albert, because he threatens him at first, but you'll take such a pranging, you'll be lucky to wear the bloody uniform of a bloody toilet attendant. And that slows him down. And that gets a little cooperation because, you know, he's in the military. He understands military structure. He is subject to the laws of the United States government regarding members of the military. He has an oath to uphold. But the thing that scares him more than anything, the thing that he wants to make sure that Lionel Mandrake damned well understands, is the last thing in the world he wants to do, Lionel Mandrake, is answer to the Coca-Cola company. Because, you know, they're not the government. They can do whatever they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they can rendition him, can't they? You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, it'd be a cheesy TNT, you know, spy movie kind of scenario.
You know, people are out there running around saying, "Oh, they're gonna hunt poor Snowden down and shoot him like a dog in the streets."
Mm.
And you know, they're gonna send him to Guantanamo. But
no.
The problem is, the only people that this country suborns murdering, last I checked, in recent memory, are, you know, poverty level day laborers advocating for a minimum, some sort of living wage, picking bananas in goddamn Colombia. Now, on that, the Justice Department and, say, Attorney General Eric Holder, before he was Attorney General, they're willing to say, you know what, we can't put anybody in jail for this. You know, for ordering that killing.
Mm.
You know, that killing was okay. But this is not that. This is not that at all. I mean, I saw where, who was it? Somebody in the press conference today of Jay Carney at the White House asked him if the United States would intercept or shoot down any plane carrying Eddie Snowden. And Carney's answer was, "I refuse to speculate on that," which is all it is, if it even rises to the level of speculation as opposed to paranoid fantasy.
Yeah, who was Alex Jones get a press pass or one of his goons or something?
And that was the first thing I thought. Is this a false flag operation in Boston?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the camp that Snowden really probably will get the most support out of. You know, really disappointed in a lot of this stuff here. And, you know, same thing, you know, Julian Assange, same thing. It's like, you know, Glenn Greenwald. Yeah, these people are all...
Well, look, you've got Julian Assange, Bradley Manning, and now Eddie Snowden. What is the one thing that all three of those people have in common? No, it's not document leaks, because they don't have the same commonality.
Yeah.
Eddie Snowden was working for a private contractor. Julian Assange was basically working on his own, and Bradley Manning was a member of the military, so that doesn't fit. Mm. The only thing they have in common is Glenn Greenwald.
Mm.
And in point of fact, and I'll probably catch hell for this, I watched Glenn Greenwald's appearance on Meet the Press yesterday, which was just, oh, God. Somebody, send David Gregory out to spend the rest of his life dancing with Carl Rove or something.
Yeah, for real.
Get him out of it. I mean, the most inartful, because the question he asked, which was stupid and hateful and raised my hack, okay, as a former journalist, not as a journalist, but as a former journalist. Yeah, you know, shouldn't you be prosecuted?
Mm.
And, of course, that was just a big, fat, hanging curveball hanging over the plate for Glenn Greenwald to knock out of the park, which he kind of did. But the question he asked, or I think meant to ask, well, never mind that. The answer, sometimes words matter, Brother L.
Mm-hmm.
After dumbass Gregory asked his dumbass aided and abetted question, did you notice how Glenn Greenwald, lawyer, answered? Because long before he was ever a blogger, he was a lawyer.
He was a lawyer.
His answer is rather telling. You don't have any evidence of that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and take the rest of the program going into some digression of what happens to the human brain over the course of 3 years in law school. But things do happen. And you don't have any evidence of that is a much, much different answer to the question than saying, that's not true. Just like one of the things that gets under my skin journalistically is when somebody will write in a news story that so-and-so charged with burglary on March the 23rd was found innocent by a jury. There is no such thing, Brother Al. No one in the United States acquitted by a jury has ever been found innocent of a crime. They have been found to be not guilty. And again, there's a gap between those two things that you can slide a semi through sideways.
Yep.
And we can all cite examples of that.
But
just listening with my Dr. Freud hat on, you have no evidence of that. Screamed. At least to me. Because there's a big difference between evidence admissible in court and whether or not something is factually true.
Yeah. See, and like, you know, I can't stand Gregory, so, and Greenwald is getting on my shit list, so, you know, he's just, you know, but I did see a clip of him from about 8 years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago. He was on C-SPAN, and, you know, when the warrantless wiretaps are coming out from the Bush administration, and his positions on that, and then, you know, you juxtapose that to where he is at today. When, I mean, as far as I've noticed from what I have paid attention to, you know, the Obama administration's been getting warrants. And, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, that may be, you know, gnats, you know, ball hairs over here on a gnat, but, you know, that's like words mean something. Well, warrants mean something too. And I don't know, I'm more comfortable with warrants, even if, you know, I mean, that's where the FISA court came from anyway, didn't it? It came from because that, right, who was doing that? Nixon? Someone who was sitting there spying on everybody, and so they got to get the FISA court.
Yeah, what did Nixon once say? If the president does it, it's not a crime?
Yeah, it's not a crime, yeah.
Oddly enough, there are a lot of people who think Barack Obama said that.
The history did start on January 20th, 2009. We all know that. You know, and, you know... I don't know, Brother Bob. I think we'll make it, but my goodness, they're kicking and screaming, aren't they? Just every little, I mean, I almost see a lot of this stuff as, you know, it's just chaff. It's not Snowden's chaff, Greenwald's chaff, you know, I mean, it's just the same nonsense. It's not real, you know, substantive to me. I mean, show me where it is and, you know, I'll really start to, you know, care about it, but I just, you know, I don't know, I guess I got other distractions and, you know, and I don't know. It is definitely thick with morons, and it's, you know, not that I call Glenn Greenwald a moron. He's just being a, he's got his
He's just running the hustle he runs.
He's running a hustle. Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like he's running a hustle, and he's got bones to pick. I mean, and don't you ever say anything about him. Oh, goodness gracious, don't disagree.
No, because if you do that, one of his sock puppets will come after you.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, you know, you can agree with him 98% of the time. But you've disagreed with him once, you know, he's your mortal enemy to the end. And it just, you know, I don't know. I don't understand Glenn Greenwald. I really don't. I don't get the guy. I don't know what his angle is, and I don't understand what, you know. I mean, hey, I want freedom for forever. You know, I mean, this is what we need to preserve, and freedom can't protect itself.
And, well, the problem here is this story, the story as he is promulgating it, does not advance the fundamental inquiry.
True.
And the fundamental inquiry, as I've said, and, you know, speaking from my lofty perch on Olympus, is why in the hell we're spending $5 billion over 10 years, or $5 billion over, $6 billion over 5 years, or however it works out, to pay a private contractor to do something that we would actually be better doing with civil servants, government employees, who actually have, you know, that whole loyalty to the United States thing going for.
Yeah, that little oath. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's not like the military pays people a whole lot of money. I mean, technically anybody could have done the job that I did in the military. It wasn't, you know, like, oh, you're so intelligent, you need to be in this. And it wasn't like that. It was like, well, then why don't you give me something where that's a mental challenge? And they did, you know, the thing is, it's the same thing when it comes down to the mess hall. You know, they're going to cut down the milk, so they cut down on the mess hall people, right? And then, you know, so nobody's peeling potatoes anymore. Nobody's making steaks. Nobody's doing any of these things, you know, getting the sides of beef and learning a craft or, you know, something like butchering and all that other stuff. They're not learning anything. They get contractors that come in, and then they wind up paying what? Price cost plus. Remember price cost plus, right? We got to get hamburgers to the troops. Well, anybody can make a freaking hamburger.
I'll have a hella burger. That'll be $29.
Yeah, $29.95. Would you like lettuce? You know, I mean,
$32.50.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, this is what I'm saying. It's the same thing. You know, Indiana Stan, you know, they sit there and they privatize their highway system, right? Saudi Arabia owns most of it, and then some other place, maybe Liechtenstein owns another chunk of it, right? And it's the worst road I've ever been on. It's terrible. It's dark. It's not lit. I mean, it's cracked and rubbed and. It's private. I mean, I don't understand this whole privatization nonsense. When has that worked? Show me when. Show me when giving tax cuts to the millionaires and billionaires, to the top 1%, show me when that works. When has that ever worked, ever, in history? You know, and you're going to be quiet because you got nothing. There's nothing you can say, oh, yeah, oh, that works. It never does. You know, so, yeah, that's the same thing back in 2000, right? They were giving the voting rolls over to private corporations, right? Click Point or whatever the hell they were. Well, that worked out, didn't it? You know, it works out for the shareholders. It works out for the people who are invested in it and at the country club. And, you know, now, you know, hell, and they mentioned, and then all the government, all they've seemed to be able to do in the past 6 years or 8, 10, whatever years it is, is they've been able to convince or pass laws. The only laws they've been able to really pass that have, you know, been anything was that, Congress can't get convicted of insider trading. You know, other than that, it's been abortion and Obamacare 37 times and, Texas School Board of Education, you know, trying to throw monkey wrenches into science or whatever they're trying to do. Did you see that? That's a terrible, oh my God, terrible documentary, Revisionists or Revision, oh God. And then, you know, because Texas is a big state, you know, they buy textbooks and then everyone else goes along with the friggin' herd. Oh, Brother Bob.
And the disciples said, that is a mighty damn big dinosaur there, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, because crocodiles live with dinosaurs, and so why couldn't man?
Brother Albert, you have yourself a good evening. It's awful good to hear from you.
Stay sane, Brother Bob. Stay sane. We'll talk later.
It's a tenuous struggle at best, but I do make the effort.
Amen. Be good.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we'll try to get... Oh, I pushed the wrong button. I'm terribly sorry. So that brings us pretty much to the end of things this evening. We find ourselves $10 to the good out of the 150 we needed to raise. So we'll just add that to tomorrow, and it'll be 290. and hopefully that'll happen. Because I paid some, more to pay. Huh. Well, thanks for joining in on what has been a very busy Moran Monday. We probably got Morans to catch up with tomorrow. Who knows? And lucky for us, it's Titanic Tuesday, so that'll fit. Y'all have a wonderful evening. And remember, Dr. Bill starts at 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific tomorrow, not 4. He's got a meeting he has to attend tomorrow evening. Thanks, everybody, for all the ways that you participate and help keep this going. Your kind and determined contributions, your ideas, your thoughts via email and phone and Skype and chat room. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Gene, who is homesick for Portland this evening after hearing Tracy. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AICACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.